Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown. Today is Friday, November 21st, and time sure is moving very, very, very quickly. We have a great show planned for you today. Today, our topic is the audacity of hope. And there's a lot of that going around. You know, I said from November 4th, once Barack Obama got elected, that I'm trading in my cynicism for hope and possibilities, which, you know, it's kind of hard not to be cynical sometimes. We live in a world where everybody is working and kind of living life, and things just seem to be crumbling on every front. And it's a little difficult at times to remain hopeful or positive in times such as this. I was watching the news this morning, and Susie Orman, she was on the Today Show, and then she moved over to MSNBC with Morning Joe, who I watch, you know, every day. But she was talking about and discussing how dire everything is, how we need to save, we need to pay off our credit cards and fall back on taking vacations and just loosely spending money, because right now, according to Susie Orman, everybody knows somebody who is laid off, got downsized, underemployed, and this transcends race, this transcends socioeconomic status. This just transcends so many different areas. I mean, you know, we had Dr. Julianne Malveaux on the show about a month and a half ago, actually, and she said that, you know, black people or people of color or typically oppressed people kind of know how to get through this, but other people who may not have experienced what we have experienced for centuries, well, hundreds of years, I should say, they don't really know how to get through this. And I think that's indicative of people right now panicking. How do we move forward? You know, I can't pay my mortgage. And Susie Orman was saying that the reason some people have not cut back on their spending right now is because they feel entitled to be able to take a vacation, or I feel I work hard, I should be allowed to blank. When in fact they may, you know, they may feel that that's what they want to do. And that's not always the best case. So just based on that, based on our conversation yesterday, our will versus God's will, and just looking at the circumstances around us, I just felt it would be a really, really good topic just today to talk about the audacity of hope. And it's not specifically talking about Barack Obama's book. So this, you know, I don't want anybody to think we're going to dissect President-elect Barack Obama's book, but I just feel the title so aptly describes what people need right now to get them through another day. I've shared that I have a very close friend who was homeless for a while, and it's not to make light of the situation. This individual is college educated. This person had a job and fell a little bit behind and did not actually have their own place to live. Now, the situation wasn't so dire that this individual had to go into a shelter, but it really was an uncomfortable and an extremely challenging and rightfully so embarrassing situation, because this individual felt they were doing everything the right way. Just want to say hi to True in the chat room. Don't use coupons, but should. Yeah, I told you I started using coupons, so yes, I do. I feel entitled. I'm tired of working without taking a vacation, so I'm taking a vacation next month. Well, you know what? Here's where it gets a little tricky with that, True, that right now Americans are being asked to do more work for the same amount of pay. So that's a weird situation as well, because as, and I've heard this from other people, as companies begin to downsize and lay off, where does the burden of that workload go? It shifts to the remaining people that are still employed. I shared with you that I worked for a hotel a couple years ago, and we had, I was a sales manager for this particular hotel chain, and it was a, you know, nice position. And we had a coordinator, and this one particular coordinator supported like four managers. But she wasn't an assistant. She just kind of helped us coordinate our projects. And the beginning of this year, you know, I'm talking to people, you know, my coworkers are still my friends, and they said they just called one day and said that position has been eliminated. Just like that, she doesn't have a job. Well, now where does the burden of her workload go if that position has been eliminated? They just eliminated the coordinator position. So now her work got shifted to the administrative assistant that supported these four managers. The coordinator was kind of like an assistant coordinator, you know, or maybe like a junior manager, something like that. It wasn't as though it was like an assistant position. But anyway, this individual's workload has now shifted to the administrative assistant and then back to the managers. So now the managers have to sell and work and book business and coordinate their business as well. So in that sense, true, I think you're right, because a lot of people are being overworked and underpaid for what they're doing. I just can't understand how if you have two people making $45,000 and you eliminate one person's position, well, there was obviously enough work to pay this person $45,000. Where does that work go? And you know what upper management is going to do? They're gently going to just shift it around and spread it around. So now people are spending longer hours at work. They're getting in earlier. They're leaving late. And now they're taking their Blackberries to bed, Blackberries at the dinner table, Blackberries at their children's events, because there really almost is no separation between work and home life. And because jobs are so scarce, people are doing everything in their power to keep their job. They don't want to lose their job. Oh yeah, true. I'm looking True View Radio putting in the chat room profits. Yeah, a lot of it has to do with profits as well. And I think that's where the frustrating part comes from, because I looked at the gas companies. How did they have record profits in, I believe it was third quarter, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. I believe it was second and third quarter this year, like $300-something billion, and we're all struggling to fill up our cars with gas at $3.79 a gallon, gas at $4-something, $4.29, $4.30 a gallon. And I heard in some states it was over $5 a gallon. In New York City, the metro area, well, in New York City, it did reach that point. North Jersey, where I actually live, it didn't reach that high. I think the highest I ever saw gas here, I think, was like $4.59 or $4.69. Like right now, our gas by my house is probably like, I saw it yesterday for $1.79 a gallon, $1.83 a gallon. But it's definitely in like the 180s, you know, the 170s. Gas in North Jersey is not as high as it is in other areas. Not sure why, but that's just the way it is. Oh, wow, a lot of people are joining us in the chat room. Hey, Pastor Montan, and hi, Prophetess Cross. Thank you for joining me today. Let me go back to read what's going on in the chat room. Yeah, true, car execs flying private planes. Well, you heard that the executives from the big three automakers flew private jets to beg for public money to bail them out. And I've been against the bailout from day one. I've been against it because I never felt, anytime I'm rushed to do something, red flags go up. Whenever it's, hurry up, we got to get this done, hurry up, we got to get this done, hurry up, we got to get this done, automatically the hair stands up on my neck and I'm apprehensive. I'm going to be very leery. And I felt that's what was happening. I felt that they were rushing, we need to get this passed, the economy is going to collapse. Now everybody, you know, the Congress and whoever was in that congressional session, they passed it. We wrote a $700 billion check, and we still don't have a line item budget as to where this money is going to go. And I think they're feeling it out as they go. And I know right here in New York City, they're estimating a $2 billion loss in next year's budget, a write-down in their budget. So now they're saying the subway is going to probably increase maybe as much as 50%, or maybe go up to $3 a ride. That's a lot of money. $3 to get from one place to another, that's $6 a day just to get back and forth to work. And for some people, that's 1 hour of pay just to be able to get back and forth to work. And $6 an hour, really nowhere is a lot of money, but $6 an hour in New York City gets you un gats. It gets you absolutely nothing. And it's sad. It's really, really sad. But that's what I felt what was going to happen when if they wrote that $700 billion check. Now California needs money. New Jersey needs money. North Carolina needs money. Everybody's got their hand out. And it just speaks to what about all of the little people that are upside down in their car loans? What about all of the little people that are upside down in their mortgages that owe more than their house is even worth? Why are we not bailing these people out? And, you know, as True put it in the chat room, these people have such gall and such nerve that they took individual private jets to Capitol Hill for this congressional hearing. So I think that just flies in the face of conventional wisdom, slaps the public in the face. Just this is how nervy these people are. You know, can you, like, maybe plane pool? Is it okay to ride in somebody else's jet? Perhaps, I guess not. Maybe that's their egos. But anyway, today's topic is the audacity of hope. And I am going to read you something right now from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 40. And I'm actually reading it from the New International Version of the Bible. So it's probably, you know, everybody's version is different, but I like the New International Version because it's, you know, it's just kind of a little bit easier to read. And it doesn't have too many these and nows and stuff like that in it. So it just kind of makes it a little bit easier to read. But really, it's just speaking about the audacity of hope and how we have to remain hopeful in all situations, no matter what. And this whole piece in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 40, just speaks of faith and believing and believing that there is a God and knowing that we can't live just by what we see, by faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that is what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and we just talked about that yesterday. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man, and when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as the one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah was warned about the things not yet seen. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who has made the promise. And so from the one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did not receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he learned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as the greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea and on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she was welcome, the spies was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, I don't know how to say the next word, Jephthah, I never could say that one, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in the battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they may gain better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I just want to say the audacity of hope, having faith. Knowing that there's something out there, knowing what is promised for us, knowing that what we see may not necessarily apply to us. It could be something else that somebody else has to go through. Let me just read some of the stuff that's in the chat room. Oh, wow. Hey, guys, if you can, please join the godlife.net and set up a profile, Spiritual and Christian Networking. I have it set up and will do after the show. How Elegant says, hey, Cy. Hey, darling, how are you? Happy birthday, Sandy. I didn't know it was your birthday. True says, shouting, good morning. How Elegant push, no yelling during the word. My bad, that's true. Peace and love, y'all. Good afternoon, Cy. Well, I just want to say hi to everybody. I wasn't paying attention to the monitor or the screen while I was reading. But today we're really talking about the audacity of hope, because right now, for the most part, we're kind of living in a pretty, well, prior to November 4th, a pretty hopeless and wandering world. Nobody kind of knows how to maneuver through this, and I think it's time that people that do believe in God and that do believe in a higher power and do believe that there is hope, we literally stand at the top of the mountain and shout and let people know. I'm getting so choked up. I touch so many people's lives outside of this show. And it's really sad to see and hear people's stories and really try to keep people encouraged. Some people have absolutely no hope and feel that they can't make it until the next day. And I'm so sorry for crying, but I just felt that this was such an important word to share with everybody today, because even though we kind of come together and we laugh and joke, what I do outside of this show is so important. And just to have the ability to keep people encouraged every single day and to be able to draw from everybody who listens to the show, draw from your energy, is really, really a lot. And I think the mandate has been placed on all of us to really go out and tell people as much as we can how much God loves us and how much we're really supposed to do for other people. All of us today here, just the people in the chat room, we are so much better than so many other people. My friends, most of my friends, my personal friends, are pretty well off. And I say that not to position myself as an elitist by any stretch of the imagination, but I see people suffering. I see people hurting, and I see people in so much pain, and they're so lost, and they're so confused, and they don't know if they should go up, down, left, or right. And I think the people that are here, we have to really look deep inside as to who we are so we can help as many people as possible. We have to live outside of who we are. We have to live outside of our little world and care a little bit more about humanity, because right now there was so little hope before Barack Obama was elected in November that people, like those that are really spiritually connected, you can see people just wandering. It's almost like you're looking at dead people walking around. Even though their eyes are open and they have on clothes, it's almost like a hologram. People are, it's almost, at least I can see it. You're almost looking at people, but you're looking at an illusion. You're looking at just a shadow. And the shadows are so dark. The shadows that you're looking at are so dark. It's like a dark, smoky gray. That's not light. That's not the light that we're supposed to be looking at. That's not the light that we have to emanate. And I think when we look at all of the things that we have, it's almost like we're spinning in the face of the universe if we don't take what we have and share it with other people. Because if I keep looking at people that are hurting and people that are broken and people that are lost and people that have no hope, how do we fix that? And I think the mandate comes back on us. The mandate comes back on the people that tune in every single day. The mandate comes back on those that may be a little bit higher in that plane of enlightenment. The mandate comes on those that may know just a little bit more. We can't take for granted that we know just a little bit more. We know just a little bit more because we have to go back and literally snatch people out of the darkness. And if we don't, I feel it's almost like we're being disrespectful. We're given what we're given because we have to go back and save the others. I look back at all of the people that have contributed and poured into me and encouraged me. How dare I be so insensitive not to go back and try to share that with other people? And I'm respectfully placing that mandate on everybody. I'm looking at the chat room right now. I'm not even saying who you are. You all know. You all know exactly who you are, what mandate has been placed on your life, and this has nothing to do with church. This has nothing to do with wearing the right clothes. This has nothing to do with your position or your standing in the community. This really has to do 150% with people, with people, with nothing else but people. When you get to that place, you can see the darkness surrounding them, and it's not always going to be easy. A friend of mine said to me, to whom much is given, much is required. And I'm sure that's a cliche we've all heard a million times. But if you really think about it, why are people given more? Not really for your own benefit. I told you all I moved in, like, right when I started the show. I think it was like, just, yeah, right when I started the show, I moved. And I will say I have a very nice house. But do you all honestly think, I know I don't, that I was given everything that I have just so Sai can sit with, kick with her feet up and just chill? I have to open my doors to people, and I have to do it without fear. God is not going to give me this beautiful house that I live in, beautiful hardwood floors and all of these things, just so Sai could be like, yeah, I'm chilling, I'm good. I feel if I don't open my house to prayer, if I don't open my house to broken people, if I don't open my house to people that are hurting, it can be taken away just like that. I'll tell you all tonight, I'm having friends come over and help me paint. My walls are all white. All, you know, just my walls were all white. And we're painting them like a taupey color, like a brown color. And I looked at it. We got one wall done last night. I'm like, oh, my God, my walls are so dark. I'm used to white walls. But you know what? I invited a couple of my good friends over. I'm like, you guys want to come over for a painting party? They don't know. They're coming to my house because these are all the people that are coming tonight are the people that need to be ministered to. It has nothing to do with painting the walls. I could look at white walls for another 6 months. I couldn't care less about the walls. I don't care if they make the walls purple, blue, or red. I really don't care. But I know I'm making dinner. I don't even know. Y'all know, probably put some chicken in the oven. It's not even about that. But the people that are coming over to my house tonight, these are the people that really need to be ministered to. Because if I don't, I'm doing a disservice for all of the information that I have and all of the energy that I have. And we can't live like that. True, you stupid. I just looked into the chat room. You put, what time is dinner? Well, this is what I actually started writing the menu before I got on the air. I bought some, y'all are going to kill me. Is Tiffany on the show today? Let me look in the chat room. No, Tiff is not here. Good. I'm serving chicken. I'm probably going to bake some chicken, make some yellow rice with peas, and I'm probably going to make some cabbage. And when I make cabbage, I actually put, like, fresh carrots and stuff in it. So you guys are funny. What time is dinner? I'm there with you, True. Oh, you're definitely more. Everybody here is invited. As long as you're registered and I know you, you guys can come on over. Let me just read some of this. Oh, my God, there's so much stuff. You guys know I wasn't reading the chat room when I was speaking to you, so now I have to kind of go back and read what everybody wrote. So just bear with me for 1 second. High Road said, I get it, Sai. Be thankful you are clothed and in your right mind. High Road said, we've got to intensify our light. It's going to get darker. Oh, Mama Smokey joined us too, so hold on. Miss Smokey sent me a big hug. Thank you, baby. If I got any brighter, you would need your shades right now. we're blessed with responsibility. Sai, this is a real breakthrough for you right now. Oh, God, I probably shouldn't have read that on the line. But now, no, that's scripture to whom much is given. Oh, okay, so how Elegant said, no, that is scripture to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, I didn't know that was scripture. I just know I've heard it. And I'm sure I knew it was in the Bible somewhere, but thank you, How Elegant, to put, know that scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, so then that's fine. Thank you for clarifying that. My belly is growing. True put yard bird with yellow rice. Make a veggie plate for me, Sai. Yeah, True says, I'm psychic too. I think you may have a call. You guys are too funny. You guys are all funny. Yeah, but I'm serving chicken. Black people still like chicken. But I will serve a healthy dose of vegetables and red wine to wash it down. And red wine to wash it down. But going back to the scripture, if anybody knows where that scripture is, maybe somebody can Google it. I don't know. To whom much is given, much is required. But I used to bitch and complain all the time. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I just said it anyway. But I used to vent. Everybody's always asking me for everything. And then I realized they're asking me because they know I can offer assistance and help. Did I tell you guys the story about me and ShopRite? Somebody let me know. Did I tell you all the story about me being in ShopRite and everybody kept asking me where stuff was in ShopRite when I was shopping for my grandmother? Well, all right, I'm going to tell you now. Hold on 1 second. Guest, my display name is now Guest 443. Well, welcome, Guest 443. Welcome to the show. I don't know who you are, but welcome to the show. Oh, how elegant, says pair white wine with chicken. Okay, so now you know I'm not an alcoholic because I don't even know what goes with what. You guys are too funny. Thank you, Miss Smokey. I need daily messages from you. Profound statement to ponder. Every thought is a prayer, and do your thinking with care. Oh, I like that. Okay. High Road says, no, I didn't hear that story. Okay, I'll tell you real quick. It's a short one. Most of you know, and I'm just going to repeat the beginning part, that I moved from living with my grandmother, and I lived with her for 5 years, and I just moved. But I still, you know, do her weekend shopping for her. My dad and I just, you know, kind of share caring for her because she's 87, the one that was on the show when Barack Obama got elected. So I was in ShopRite, and I'm walking around ShopRite, and this lady comes up to me and says, well, do you know where such and such is? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'll help you find it. All right, I'm still shopping or whatever. Somebody else says to me, do you know where such and such is? And I'm like, no, you know, I don't know, but I'll help you find it. And where my grandmother lives is a very heavy Orthodox Jewish, I guess I'm saying it correctly, population, where they wear the yarmulkes, and on Saturday you see them all walking to the synagogue, and, you know, it's just the whole, one whole section of this town, there's just a lot, a large Jewish population. So this man walks up to me, and, you know, the Jews and the blacks get along pretty well, and it sounds kind of funny, but, you know, the Jewish people stay on their side, the black people stay on their side, and we all kind of meet at ShopRite. But everybody gets along. This Jewish man walks up to me and shows me the list. Now, it's written on, like, pink paper with flowers, white paper with pink flowers, so I'm assuming, you know how you have the thing on the refrigerator? His wife probably said, here, go to the store and get this. So he comes up to me and says, do you know where this is? And so by now I'm like, huh? What? And then I caught myself, because don't forget, he's now the third person to ask me where something is. I do not work at ShopRite, nor do I have on a black smock that has ShopRite written in orange letters. Do not have on a visor. I have on a jacket with keys, a grocery list, and a shopping basket in front of me, just like everybody else in ShopRite. So I look at the list, and I made it out to say confectioner sugar. So I walk with the guy over to the bake section, leave my basket, and I said, is your wife baking something or making something? And he said, yes. I said, okay, then what she probably wrote was confectioner's sugar. Here it is. And he says, oh, you know, thank you very much. And I walked away thinking, okay, something is awry here. What is it that everybody keeps asking me, do I know where stuff is? I mean, give me a break. I'm shopping like everybody else is. And I swear to you all, I don't know if I'm supposed to swear, but I'm going to swear anyway. Like, in an instance, it hit me that everybody, whatever was coming out of me, people felt comfortable enough to approach me and ask for help. And it just so happened to be something as insignificant as where sugar is, where this is, where that is. But that same energy that exudes from me is the same energy that we all need to get to that place so that people feel so comfortable that they come ask for help and assistance from right-guided people. Because there are people out there looking for answers to life's problems, all over, top to bottom, left to right. But we want to make sure that our light and our energy and our spirit is so strong that people feel comfortable approaching us, that we're grounded in the Word, grounded in our source, grounded with universe, with a solid understanding of universal laws and principles, that we know we're giving them the right information. We don't want people that are lost or wandering or confused to look for answers in dark places. These people that are in dark places, they smile just like us too. They have a human form just like we do too, but their intention is not good. So when people that are lost or confused go to them, what does that do? It creates more lost and confused people in this world. So we have to make sure that we're grounded and we're comfortable and we're solid and firm in our faith, so that when that light does shine through, that people come to us, and then we can perpetuate and grow God's presence here on earth. We don't want them going to darkness. We don't want them looking to darkness and dark places and corners for help and information. I want to be able to multiply what I have and have more of that here on earth. Because if we all do just a little bit, just imagine if we all helped one person every single day. If we all shared what we know every single day, how much more and how much better this place would be. I have a blog, and this is a total sidebar to this conversation. It's about politics because I love politics. But the point is, on the top of the blog on Politics Remix, it says, "We are the change we've been looking for. We are the ones that we seek." And everyone's always, well, not everyone, but people vent and complain about the state of the world. Well, how is it going to change? Start with yourself. Start with your own backyard. Start with the people that are immediately around you, the people that are immediately in your presence every single day. That's where change starts. Just pour a little bit, pour a little bit, pour a little bit. And I'm asking you to really keep me in prayer, because I don't know what's going to go on in my house tonight. I have no idea. I have no idea. All I know is that people are coming over. We're eating some yard bird. And I'm really hoping that when they leave, their lives are changed. It's only going to be about two or three people. But sometimes that's all you need to really be the catalyst for massive change and a groundswell of support, where you just have so much happening that you can't even contain it. This is how it starts. Just with two or three people taking baby steps. And before you know it, I don't know how many of you saw the movie Forrest Gump, when Forrest had on when he was a little kid and he started walking and he had those like leg braces on, and the kids were chasing him and he was like, bump that, I'm out of here. And he starts, you know, walking quickly and they're catching up on him. And all of a sudden he starts running and he breaks free out of these leg casts. And that's when the girl's like, run, Forrest, run. And before he knew it, he was breaking free and absolutely just running and running and running and running and running. And that's what I'm hoping to happen in the lives of everybody that's listening to this show, the people that are going to listen to the podcast, the people that touch my life in some way and in some capacity. I really, really hope that you touch somebody's life, and what they do is take baby steps, and then you pour a little bit more into them, and they pick up their pace, and you pour more into them, and before you know it, they're running. They're running based on you, based on the light that you gave to them, based on the love that you poured into them. And it's a very lonely place. Everybody that's listening to this show, we're the leaders. This is the place that we have to come every day to get filled so we can go back out and do what we're supposed to do. That's exactly what's supposed to happen. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see what's going on in the chat room. Oh, God, because I can't read and talk at the same time. Okay. Oh, Miss Mama Smokey said, go, Sai. My God, I think she's got it. Having trouble typing today. Tear those walls down, my child. Clapping, clapping, jumping up and down, riding the wave with you, girl. Surround yourself before they come with white light, and you will be fine. High Road said, this room is on fire. pay it forward. You go, Sai. Sai, I want my family to meet you. Oh, thanks, High Road. Where do they live? Because you know I'm in New York. Let me read a little bit more. How elegant. You're an open spirit. I have that gift. I love it. Sometimes it's the smile they feel they can approach you. It's an inviting spirit. Well, you know what's so funny? I had this guy tell me one time, Sai, you are such a hustler. Maybe I shouldn't even be telling you all this. This was like 10 years ago. I had a business, and I dealt with a lot of customers. And he came in. He was like, you know what? I really dig you, but you are such a hustler. And I was so offended. And I said, can I just ask why you said that? Because it wasn't that I was physically hustling anybody. I was just running my business, you know, a fair, honest business. He said, everybody that comes in here, you make them feel like they are the most important person in the world. And then you take all their money. It was a beeper store. I'll just let everybody know. I had a beeper store for like 5 years when, like in the 90s when beepers were doing really, really well. So, you know, I did pretty well. But the point is this. He said he equated me being a hustler because anybody that came into my store, they were the most important everything. They were my world to me at that very moment. And it, whether they were buying a beeper, getting their beeper fixed, you know, disconnecting it, changing service, everybody had to wait. And very often there were very long lines in my store because I spent as much time that was needed with that person until all of their problems got resolved. And then, you know, the business grew and grew and grew, and this all adds into the topic of today about the audacity of hope. But I hired people to run my store to help me because, praise God, my business grew. So in the afternoon, I still would, I would have people working my store, and I would leave and go pick up my children from school. You know, I think Miles was probably like in kindergarten or first grade, and Daquan was probably in like fourth or fifth grade. So I would leave, you know, like 2:30, pick them up from school, get them a snack. And then I would, you know, if they needed to go to the library or pick up, you know, pencils from Staples or what have you. And then I would get back to my store, you know, by like 5 or so, you know, 4:35 in time to get ready to close. I close every day at 6 o'clock so I can go home, make dinner, and, you know, have evening time with my children because they were so young. It never failed. Every freaking day I would get back to my store, and I'm thinking all I have to do is go in, you know, count the money, close the register, you know, have my kids start their homework or give them chips or something until it was time to go home. It never failed. Every time I would get back to my store, I had a crowded group of people waiting for me. And I had cool relationships with all of my customers, and I talked to them just like I talk to you all every day. And I'm like, yo, what are you guys doing here? That's why I have people working here. I'm paying them, and you guys are sitting here waiting for me. And you know what they would always tell me? Oh, we'd just rather sit and wait for you to come back. And I say this as we talk about hope and love and light. A beeper is a beeper. Once you train somebody on how to fix it, how to reconnect it, how to change a beeper case, and don't forget we're talking like 10 years ago. But these people would literally sit and wait for me, didn't even know when I was coming back. I could have walked it back in the store 5 minutes to 6. They didn't care. They would sit and wait, and it kept frustrating me because I wanted to, I have people on payroll to, you know, get these people in and out. So when I come back, I can go back and hang with my kids. But the point is, my light was shining back then. And just in this whole reflective walk that you have all seen unveil before your eyes and really grow and manifest right before your ears, I should say, every day, just imagine, I've had it in me just as you all have had it in you for 10, 15, 20 years. So it's my absolute prayer that we don't let another 10 years pass us by before we realize the importance that we can have in the lives of people. It has nothing to do, me sharing that with you has nothing to do with me telling you that I had a beeper store. Who cares? But it's just another example. Just like when I was in the grocery store, just like I have coming back and I've got 5 and 6 people waiting. My children are getting fidgety. Come on, Mommy, I want to go home. I mean, Miles, you know, kindergarten, first grade, he's 6 or 7 years old. He can't sit for more than 15, 20 minutes, and they start running around the store. And you know what would happen? People would actually go to the store. This is funny. Talk about the favor of the Lord. People would actually entertain my children while I was helping other customers. Is that amazing or what? I would have people come in and I'd say, Si, you want me to go get them something to eat, or you want me to bring them back a sandwich, or you want me to go get them juice from the store. So here I am working, thinking, you know, I'm going to come back, zip in and zip out, and here people are extending their love and kindness to my children, blessing my children just because of me. Talk about generational curses and generational blessings. I mean, really, this is some real stuff, everybody. This is not stuff that we make up. This is not stuff that is coming, you know, voodoo religion or something. This is all stuff that I've lived, and it's taken a lot for me to sit and reflect and look at all of these different places. And I share this because everybody, and I'm saying to you, True, to Dropping Seed, How Elegant, High Road, Mama Smokey, you all are here because our light shines the brightest. And I'm just saying today, this weekend, if you have to, get to a real quiet place because we can no longer take a passive role or take the back seat. People's lives are dependent upon our ability to take action. People, the success or failure of humanity and people's lives is contingent upon our ability to listen, take direction, and lead. People's lives, the success or failure of millions of people, lies in the hands of the 7 or 8 people that are hearing my voice at this exact moment. 5 people that are hearing my voice. Because don't forget, the Bible also says everybody cannot hear from the Father. Right now, the words that I'm saying, everybody's not going to get. And it's not meant for everybody, but those who are supposed to hear and take it and run like Forrest Gump, y'all are hearing it. And you know what to do. And for those of you that this message is not for you, thank you for listening to Life Remix Radio. But in all seriousness, all of you tune in. This is our time to build up our energy, to get renewed, to build up and strengthen who we are, and to really go out and help all of the people. This is not about starting a ministry, Saida Brown Ministries, True View Ministry. It has nothing to do with that. This is about, I'm helping one person get on the right path. I'm helping one person towards enlightenment. I'm helping one person get, quote unquote, saved and delivered. That's what it's really about. I'm reading in the chat room. Let me see. It's Tiffin. I heard you're serving chicken. Oh, God. Tiffany, go away. Come back on Monday. We really have to start elevating our hearts and minds, the High Road says. Pastor Montan McDonald says, hi, Tiffy. Thanks for hanging in there with me. The show was a little rough. Hi, Pastor. You guys are a mess. Get Tiff off the line. Shut her line off. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, Tiff. You know, did anybody see, what was that movie? I think it was like Miracle on 34th Street, where they said, whatever the little girl's name is, yes, you know, Judy or whatever, there really is a Santa Claus. I'm going to have to say, yes, Tiff, I really am serving chicken. I'm only going to take a little bite, though, but I have to say, oh, I don't know if everybody got Tiff's email, but she says she's starting a health program, how to lose weight and keep it off, and it's starting, I believe the email said January 15th, so I did get your email, but I want to just speak about Tiff for one quick moment. Oh, wait, let me see how much time we have. Oh, my God, I'm so oblivious to that stuff. Hold on. Oh, 9 minutes. Oh, my goodness, I have a caller waiting. I didn't even know. Caller from 614, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, did you want to make a comment or did you have a question?
This is How Elegant. I have a comment for you.
Oh, my God, I didn't even see you. I had my switchboard window down. I'm so sorry about that. Thank you for calling in. What's going on, darling?
I'm going to try to get through this.
You have the last. You can take the last 8.5 minutes. It's yours.
I appreciate that. I'm going to try to get through this without crying.
Oh God! Don't already cry.
I have someone that I'm supposed to be right now. You know, I set an appointment to be somewhere a month ago, and I've been coming to your show within that month. And I was like, well, I'll just listen over the phone. And then I'm like, but I won't get to enjoy the comments of the chat room because they're so empowering. But your message today is exactly what I needed to be.
Oh, my God.
It was exactly, I guess I'm looking and reflecting, what have I done good? What have I not done well? And as I was finishing curling my hair listening to the show, I just started to think, I have to forgive myself for the first and the last mistake I made to move on. And basically when I hear you talk, you were talking to that part of me that needed to be revived. And like Rowan does it, I talk to him, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. I thought I was going to be able to say more, but I can't. So,
you know, I'm happy you're able to get out what you can get out. I am so happy that you called in. I didn't even know you were waiting, you know, on the line. I'm so sorry about that, but I wasn't even paying attention to the screen of my computer. But I'm so at a point in my life where I've really dwindled who I am down to nothing, because you realize how much love and care and compassion you can have for other people. And I have always minimized my strength and my power. Always. I just told you that 10 years ago. My kids are little. Y'all know my kids are 19 and 14.
Right.
But I think the more I touch lives, and I do so much more just outside of this show, I can't contain it any longer. You know, on Monday, I had a young lady on the show, and she said, it was my friend Erica, who we were talking about life after a layoff. And I said to her before the show, I said, Erica, you're my friend. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you, but I think you can help other people. Do you know she called me yesterday? And she came by my house in the afternoon and said, Saida, you don't know how much the words of encouragement from people that don't even know me helped me. She said she's getting more, she felt more love and support from you all on the radio than she's gotten from her friends. You don't even know her. But that just speaks to the power and the energy that transcends time, that transcends space, that transcends geographic location. Look at the beauty of this. It is now 12:54 in New York City. There is no sense of time, because we're all here at one place, at one moment, right here, right now. It doesn't matter that it's 10:54 or 9:54, I'm sorry, in California. Right now, time and space doesn't matter, because we're all on one accord in one place. And this is what really started helping me understand what this show is really about. It really, really explains to me, because, you know, when you go to church and they tell you that, you know, you wait on the Lord and wait, and they put so much emphasis on time, when you really start to look at the power of God and the power of the universe, there is no such thing as time. And you all know, we talked about this like 2 weeks ago. I had DeJuan do a whole show on the absence of time. For those of you that really want to know, you're understanding right here, right now, that there is no such thing as time. Because look, we're all here at the same place, sharing the same spirit, feeling the same energy right now. Friday, November 21st, It's now 12:55, and the same people, Pastor Montan McDonald, is listening in Nashville, Tennessee, The High Road, Mama Smokey, Tiff, Trueview, they're all in California. But ironically enough, there is no such thing as distance or space right now, because we're all at the same place right here and right now. You're in Ohio, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, when I saw 614, I knew I travel a lot, and I knew 614 is in the Columbus area, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I knew. I also have family in 614. What time is it where you are?
It's the same. We're on East Coast.
Oh, that's right. Duh. You guys have the same time as we do. But it just is amazing to me how when we really look at the power of God, none of that stuff really matters. Does it really matter? If we're all on one accord and we're all hoping and wishing and aspiring to the same thing, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. We're all coming together collectively to draw energy from each other. And that's another thing, too, and I'll share this with you real, real fast. That's why I don't go around touching everybody, because I believe spirits and energy can jump from person to person.
Yeah.
So be real. By virtue of what I do, people naturally are huggers. But I just say to you, and this is just like a last sidebar or whatever, make sure your energy is up, because I have physically felt my energy drained when people have touched me. So just for those, whoever that message was for, just be mindful of that, about energy and bad energy jumping from person to person. Just be cool with that. Let me read some more stuff in the chat room real quick. Oh, my God, we're down to 2 minutes of the show. How did this happen? Let me just go back real quick. Her Mama Smokey, I just love you so much. Oh, when he called me a hustler, he said that's a compliment. just so you know, later for the chicken, me, Jerry, and the kids are moving since your doors are open. Dave. Oh, my God, that's Dave. Oh, my God. Hi, Dave. That's my friend Dave, everybody. It says, just so you know, later for the chicken, me, Jerry, and the kids are moving in since your doors are open. Dave, please. Dave is my friend, everybody. He's my videographer who tapes everything that I do. What's up, D? We have been where we were to be where we are now. That's synchronicity. Ugh, I'm down to 1 minute of the show, everybody. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Let me read down to the bottom. Helping others is the mandate. Love is ultimate. That's how real love is supposed to feel. It's true Pentecost experience. Read 1 John 3:11. Oh, I'm down to 90 seconds. Wait, let me write that scripture down. 1 John 3:11 through 23. I'm ready to live like that completely. Pay it forward and drop seed. Thanks for your guidance, Sai. Curly, forget the chicken. Me, Jerry, and the kids are moving in tonight. Dave, you're crazy. You could come on over. We're painting. That's all we're doing tonight, Dave. We're painting. But I told you, ready to come and change your life. Come on over. Everybody, have a great weekend. I'm so sorry that I just, like, cried on the show for an hour. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Hey, listen, I'm going to give everybody my phone number if you want to call and talk. I'll give it to you if you want to call me later, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. Are you going to give it out on air?
Yeah, girl. Everybody got my number. It's 212-560-8980. I'll put it in the chat room, actually. 212-560-8980. And you know why I put it out like that? Because I have to remember that I'm totally protected by God. And if I'm totally protected by God, I don't want to let my fear of giving my phone number out keep somebody from having a blessed life. So there it is, 212-560-8980. We're down to 10 seconds, everybody. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. Everybody, thank you for a great show. I love you all for listening, and I'll see you right here on Monday. God bless. Bye-bye.